Page 1. So this is an introduction of the Ramban to Sefer Shmos. I figure by now we should really find out what the Sefer is about, right? Okay. That's Parsha Truma already. It's, you know, seventh Parsha of the Sefer Shmos. Yeah, we should probably find out by now. Hishem HaKas of Sefer Bereshis, Shua Sefer HaYitzir, Bechidosh HaElam Yitzir, is called Noitzur. Sefer Bereshis, I just want to point out fascinating, I think I pointed this out to you once, that it's fascinating to me that the Latin names of the books of the Bible really are based on Chazal. Leviticus is the laws of Toras Kahanim. Chazal referred to the by Midrash Chemish Pekudim. It's the book of Numbers. Mishnah Torah is Deuteronomy. Deutero is two, and Nomi is law. Deuteronomy is the second law of the Mishnah Torah.
Oh, wow!
Right, yeah. And Genesis is creation, and Exodus is Sefer Gula. So we call them Bereshis Shmos Mikra in the Devarim, which is like just some that's words in the that's words from the Sefer, but they call it by the name Chazal named them Toras Kahanim, Chemish Pekudim, Mishnah Torah. So the first Sefer is Sefer Yetzirah. Right, so the whole Sefer is about Yetzirah. Okay, so why is the whole Sefer about Yetzirah? Bechidosh HaElam, the creation of the world, so that takes you through one parak, one and a half parakim. Yetzirah is called Noitzer, how everything in the world was created. Ubikrei HaOvis Kulam, and the Ovis, the whole stories of the Ovis, Shehem Kinyan Yetzirah Lazarim, which is also a concept of Yetzirah. They're creating the path, they're setting up the seeds which are going to come to fruition in the children, they're setting up the path. They shall call me Graham, Siri, the worm, the limerous idea, Colossi, love of them. Whatever happened to the Ovis, my son was a similar bottom. So whatever happened to the Ovis is going to act in some way, the vehicle, the path, how it's going to happen to the children. So that's all Yetzirah. The whole Sefer of Reishis, the story of all of the Ovis, is all creating something for us. So now we're going to start the story of what happened, how's it playing out? That was the creation, that was the seed. Okay, what's the fruition of it? So we have that this golus was beferish, that they're going to go down to Mitzrayim, Eretz Lo Lehem, and they're going to come out. So this is the story. We said this before, Kibavur. Before ki ridosim shom hu reishis agula golus kemios hu uchal. So starting with the way when it went down the Mitzrayim, which was mentioned at the end of Bereishis in the context of the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu, which is part of the Ovis, but also was the effect to the Bonim was taking effect as well. So you sort of set the story over again from the children's viewpoint. Okay, v'hine so now. If this Sefer is the Sefer of the Golus and the Geula, so that makes sense for Shmois and Re'era, Bo, B'Shaloch, Yisroi. And now that's it. They're done with. Right? And Mishpatim, whereas Mishpatim was the end of the process of Nesinas HaTorah, etc. So, where does Truma Tetzav, Kisis, and Vayakob Ikuda fit into the picture? Why is it part of Sefer Shmois? Betzim, if you think about it in a certain sense, it's very logical it should have been part of Vayikra. Vayikra is about Lachot the Karbonis, right? So this would make a lot of sense. This would be part of the Sefer of the Karbonis, the Mishkan where the Karbonis are brought, and this is how you make the Mishkan, this is what you're going to be doing in the Mishkan, and then we'll talk about the Karbonis of the Mishkan. We could have made a very good argument that these parshios, leaving out the Zorichat Egel, wherever that belongs, right, you know, but these parshios, these five parshios belong together with Toras Kahanim. Now, they have to return to their place. Excuse me. Going back to the level of the quality of life of the Ovis. So the Golos has not really ended. The Gula hasn't really been completed if they're wandering in the desert. However, Kishabo El Har Sinai, Vasu a Mishkan, when they came to Har Sinai, they made the Mishkan, Roshav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ibhishish Kinosu Benehim, and the Roshav put his presence in Klal Yisrael, Oz Shavu El Malas of Yisom, they got back to the Madrega of the Ovis, Shuhu Hoya Soid Eloka Olei Ohalehim. The Russian's presence dwelt in the tents of the Ovis. Chazal said the Omer's with the Merkaba. Well, it's an actual Gula. So Gula did not require that we return it to the land, but it did require a return back to the state of the Shekhinah being in Klal Yisrael. The last pasuk is Kodesh HaMaleis HaMishkan. That's the end of Sefer Shmos. That's the end of the Golus. Gula has come. When Klal Yisrael has been able to bring the Shekhinah back, the presence of the Shekhinah back amongst Klal Yisrael, which was done through the vehicle of the Mishkan, and everything we've done, at that moment, we can then say the Gula has been completed. So I think I told you, I mean, I did tell you, but, you know, just, it fits beautifully with this idea. The Hirsch's point that we saw, that he says that the concept of Geula, remember he pointed out that there were three parts of the Gzeira, against, that Rome was told that, Kiger Yez Zarach Beretz Lo Lehem, Vavadim Inu Yisrael. There's going to be a state of, they're going to be Geris, they're going to be aliens, there's going to be avdus, and there's going to be the state of affliction of inui. And when the geula takes place, it takes place. The worst, the order was first they went down to Mitzrayim. They're at Gerim now, then the avdus. Then they had the shibud, the karshia shibud, where they started afflicting them even more. That Bereshit says, "V'tzeis yischem itachas sivlas Mitzrayim." It takes away the burden. That's the state of inui. V'tzalti yischem avodasom, he's taking away the avdus. V'gaalti yischem, so he says, why is gaalti yischem correspond to gerus? Because the idea of a goyel is like you have in Parshas Behar and Bechol Kosai, the goyel is the individual who comes along and says, my relative sold this property, he's down and out, I'm there to take care of him. So as opposed to a ger, who's somebody who lives as an alien, has nobody to take care of him. He's the guy you can throw out, you know, whenever you want, because he has no rights to be here. The girl is coming to someone and says, don't shepherd him, b'ni b'char Yisrael. He's mine. Belongs. So the state of Geula is when we have the full relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a goyel, right? The Boyas is the goyel, right? Because he's taking care of Rus and Naomi. So the Geula is the state of this, instead of being this wanderer which has nobody to take care of them, there's someone to take care of them. That's what Geula is. So this is what Raman is saying. When we get to the point, we have the Shekhinah with us. We're wandering in the midbar. That's fine, but we have the Russian with us. We're not Geulim. That's why the story has to. So the Mishkan plays a tremendous role because it takes us out of Mitzrayim. But that's not the solution. That's not Geula yet. Geula is not till the Russian puts the Shekhinah back amongst Klai. So which the obvious had that. Right, Gashi points out there was the presence of the Shekhinah, there was an Onan, Kosher, there was this cloud of glory over the tent of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak, Rivka comes and they have this cloud. They have the presence of the Shekhinah over there, because they were considered like they're the Merkabah. So what's the Merkabah? Merkabah is literally a chariot, right? But that the vehicle. Literally, the vehicle which allows this great warrior to accomplish what he has to accomplish in the world is his Merkabah, is his chariot that takes him where he has to go, brings his presence wherever it has to be, and accomplishes whatever it has to be. The Avos were the ones who brought that presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu back into the world. So they're the Merkabah. They're the ones which are literally carrying the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Briah. So that is the role of the Avos, and that was a simon which that this is going to be for Klal Yisrael, not maybe on the drag of the Avos, which they could do it as one person could do such a thing. A Romino could create this on his own. Klal Yisrael collectively could create this, but that's what it means, Mishkan. So Mishkan means this tremendous effort to bring the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu into the Briah. So that's the Rabban's introduction. So that's a very good introduction to why the last five parshiyos belong to Sefer Shmos as opposed to Sefer Vayikra. Now, it's an interesting question which we're going to deal with over here. Let's start with the next page, which is the Sephorno. There's a machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learns that the Mishkan really was only given to Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chet Ha'Egel. So really, the parshas are out of order, Rashi says, that the Tzivah of the Mechaz Mishkan was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on when he comes down by Yom Kippur, and they've been promised a kapara with the chet ego, receive a melech hazamishkan. So it's out of order, and really, the parashi is really immediately after Mishpatim. We should go to the story of chet ego, and then from there we should go to all of the melech hazamishkan, etc. That's how Rashi. The Rambam disagrees. He says no, the parashi is given all the seder. Therefore, the Mishkan was already told to Moshe Rabbeinu was at Tzivui before the Chet Ha'egel. Moshe did not actually tell Klal Yisrael about it until after the Chet Ha'egel because of the story how it played out. So he didn't give the Tzivui, but it was ready in the works. Ready was supposed to be, that's supposed to be the vehicle ready before the Chet Ha'egel. So what was, according to Rashi, what was supposed to be? What was plan A before the Chet Ha'egel? According to Rambam, this is plan A.
But you need that intermediary plan A.
So Rashi doesn't say clearly what's supposed to be, but there's a interesting piece over here of the Superno at the end of Parshas Yisro. Okay, so he said like this: Kilavur nasoes eschem ba'alukim. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, don't be scared. The Rashi was doing this to me nasoes eschem, to raise you up, a lashon of laharim nes, to put you up as a high being. Largilchem ela nevuah. The Rosh was getting ready for that. Klaisel will be in the Vim. Klaisel will be in the Vim. We see that later on, Eliyahu Navi. He wasn't, like the Rambam says, that normally a Navi would have to go into some type of a trance. He could not get a Navua when he was fully awake. Moshe Rabbeinu being an exception. Well, Eliyahu was also like that. It wasn't dafka limited to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kamro v'yol upono barzatoy v'yetze v'yam in Pesach Amora. He put his cloak on, walked to the Pesach Amora. He was totally functional. Gam ki ulei lo hoysa be'asfaklaya me'ira k'minyan Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't as clear as Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. But it was, so Klal Yisrael is going to receive a nevuah along the lines of where Moshe Rabbeinu received the Nevuah, that it's the human being is able to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu when the human being is functional. Right? So normally we understand that what was the Chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu? That normally for an average Navi, the body acts as a barrier to the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the body had to be quieted, as it were, because the Neshama can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the body is a problem. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have a Nevuah where the body was functional, which means the body was not a barrier. His body was so pure there wasn't a barrier. You have this Yaakov Shimoni and Parshas Hazinu, where it talks about the psukim that the about time for Moshe Rabbeinu to die. So Yaakov there says that the Rosham came to Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter through Nashika. Rosham comes and says and tells Hashem it's time to leave. He says, I don't want to leave. It's such a beautiful Kaddish, beautiful pure body. I'm so happy here. I don't want to leave. He says, Biti, it's time to come out. That's the language that Rosh Hashanah says to the Neshama, Biti, my daughter, it's time to come out. He says, no, I don't want to leave. And the Rosh Hashanah had to, like, you know, coax her out. Like, that's the way the human body is supposed to be. Like, the average place in the Neshama says, you know, the Rosh Hashanah says, you know, says, yeah, Baruch Hashem, got out of this body already. Like, you know, the body is not Kaddish. But you see that it's possible that Klal Yisrael went by Har Sinai, had the Bua like Moshe. It means Klal Yisrael was able to get to the Madrega of direct communication with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the body was not a barrier. We could raise our bodies up to the point where the body is part of the process. Okay? Now, Pazachov, Usasuniti, Eloi Chesu Lehizov. You have no need to create any vehicle to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was direct communication without any vehicle. So don't make anything which would be a vehicle, would be some type of an intermediary. Now, I don't need any fancy buildings to come to you. Yeah, I want you to serve me through a mizbeach. But there's no need to make it fancy because that's not the vehicle. You're the vehicle. Shevcha lebeis vad la'avdi. Evo lechem reticho. L'hizarach nimshach hashkachosi elecho. B'emsuyim shot zobekesev. B'zilosim. Come on. Ani ovo lechem reticho. Wherever you gather, I'll come to you.
So why is there need for a mizbech at all then?
Mizbech was the purpose, was a place that we should serve. We should serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that's we need a vehicle to serve. But it's not that the Breshem, we need that, that's the way the Breshem comes to us. The supporter is saying, don't make it fancy. I mean, you, I want you to understand. That's not that there's going to be, now the Mishkan was gorgeous. It was gold, it was silver, it was not like this. So the supporter said later on, this is all plan A. Plan A was that there was no Mishkan. Wherever you get together, I'm going to come to you. Whatever you make your base about, I'll come to you. As opposed to right now, we have to come to him. We have to find, there's a specific place in Bereshit, lets his Shekhinah be visible, the Mishkan. Before the Chet HaEgel, it was everywhere. The Bereshit Shekhinah was totally accessible anywhere in the Bria. And he says, L'salam Alos, even though I'm not asking you to make it fancy, you can't be bizarre with it. You know, you have to take, you have to act with the proper directions. That's how this supporter understands what plan A was. So take a look over here. Next page. There's a Medrash in Parshas Bereishis. Okay. Amar Baba Bar Kahana in the Oshad Gimel in the Medrash. It says, "Reishmos kol Hashem Elokim mishalech b'gon l'ruach haya." It doesn't say mahalech; it says mishalech. Malech ain't ksiv kan, ela mishalech, which is the lashon like the Rishon is like sort of like causing himself to be mishalech. It's so we dar is chazal don't say mekabetz v'erlo. What's mekabetz v'erlo? The Rishon was now after the chetz. He's sort of like pulling himself out. He's forcing himself to walk in the gan because he was ready to jump out. Ikir shkina b'tatoyim ha'yisa. The main presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu was not in the Shemayim; was down in the Oretz. Kim shachot adam rishon istalka shkina l'rikia harishon. So the seven rikias, it left the Oretz and went to the first rikia. Chatzakayin istalka l'rikia hasheni dor enish the gimel dor amavul adala dor aflogal lehei stomim levov mitzrayim b'mei Abraham lezayin. Okay, so it went all the way up to the seventh heaven. Connected on the Zion, Sneakim, Elohim, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, and Mersha, seven generations. Omar Avram, Harita Levav. Avram was able to bring the Shekhinah back down towards the world from the seventh Rekia to the sixth Rekia. Omar Yitzhak, Harita Levav Lehei, Omar Yaakov, Harita Minahe Ladalad, Omar Levi, Harita Minahe the Gimel, Omar Kohos, Harita Minahe Gimel Lebeis, Omar Avram, Harita Minbeis Lahalav, Omar Mersha, Harita Minlamala Lamato. Okay. So our mitzvah ksiv is thinking Yerusha Oretz, Rishoyim Mayasu Vechi Parchim Ba'avar, Al Rishoyim Elohi Shechina Ushechina Ba'aretz. The tzaddikim are on the ground. The ground of the tzaddikim was the real ground supposed to look like. There was a world where Kadosh Baruch Hu was there, present in the world. The Shechina was B'tachtonim. And we needed to do a process. That was the way it was supposed to be. And now we have to do this process to bring it back, because the chet was created a separation. We have to bring it back. But the Iker Shkin was supposed to be borrowed. Our Chai B'Kodesh says, Breishis B'Bar L'Kim Eitz HaShemayim Eitz HaOretz. First possible, right? Oyd Yechav and Akasav L'diyah Ki B'Tchilas Abriya Heichan Hashem V'Osef Hulosef Shava Shemayim B'Oretz. There's no difference in Shemayim and Oretz. They're equal. Right now, Shemayim is Shemayim, with all the Kedusha Shemayim and Oretz is pretty like lowly. That wasn't the way there was in the beginning of the Bria. Shagam Shemayim Hemel Yonim, Abikain, Gam Oretz, Hoyas Abigadar Atahara. It's saying, Ulaman Ma'al Losib Zakusa, Kimena Nivra Adam, Afarmin Adama, Vatara Kamalach Hashem. Adam was created from the ground. Adam was created from the ground. The Medrash says that the Malachim saw him. And they were so overwhelmed by the malachim were so overwhelmed by what Adam Rishon looked like, that they were ready to say, Kedusha, to Adam Rishon. They saw Adam, they thought he was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, thought he was Kavi Yochel, Hashem Kavi Yochel, and they're ready to say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavokah, it's to Adam Rishon. Right? This is a matter of sense. So he's made from the ground. This dirty, lowly, tomato-decked ground that wasn't lowly and dirty, it wasn't tomato. It was pure, it was gorgeous. Timzaki Hashem, Baruch Alishkan Baritz, Iman Ivroim. Hashem made the world as a place where he should exist. So if that's true, the Baruch Hu wanted to put a Shekhinah here, the world has to be Kaddish. That's how the Pasuk, Bereshis Baruch Hu Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, together Achas Ben Kiyas Adar. There's no difference in Shemayim or in the beginning of the creation. Everything was equal. So when the king sits, he sits on the throne, he puts his feet on the footstool. Vamru, the Mor says, Shu Shrafshav, that's the footstool. I mean, the end of the day, the king is putting his foot on it. So it's a place where the king dwells. The next passage says that we change it into Toya Bavayu. So allegorically, he's understanding that the next psukim are the process of the Rishayim bringing Choshech into the world. And the person says he's going to throw a light into the world, and that's the light of Torah, which Kleist was allowed would be the vehicle to bring Kodesh Baruch Hu back into the world. Gorgeous piece of Arachayim and Kodesh. Okay, if you think that's gorgeous, listen to this next piece, is a piece from Rav Hirsch, which I can tell you, it's like, it's the piece is just beautiful. So he brings this pasuk, which the Medrash makes this drasha. By Yishma Hashem, it's called Hashem Alekim Yisalech by Gan L'Ruch Hayom. The Russian was walking in the Gan, L'Ruch Hayom. The Russian's presence was in the Gan. And this verse says a remark, Ikr Shkinim Et HaToyim, that originally, essentially, the principal proximity of Kadosh Baruch Hu was to rest down here on earth. The main place that the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu would be in the world. Now, we are apt to look at the case of intimate intercourse between man and God as being something extraordinary, to consider them being outside the ordinary conditions of life, which is why their authenticity is doubted by many people, considered impossible. Prophecy is strange to people. Human beings connecting Ruach HaKadosh, it's like wild stories, you know. So, you're real Hasidic, you really believe in them. You're really Spanish, you believe in them. Ashkenazi, you're skeptical. It's like, why? What's the parallel? Why can't it be like normal? In opposition to that comes a great proclamation that not the later mission of the prophets, God speaking to the patriarchs, to Moses and to Israel, these are not extraordinary conditions. But rather, the 6,000 years of the distance between man and God is the unnatural condition. The original relationship is that of Ikr Shekhinah B'Tachtonim. That the normal state of being is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally present, he's imminent, he's totally available. That it should be the most normal thing in the world, that Baruch Hu having prophecy with human beings. Other reason speaks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, just like the most natural thing in the world. Right? What we're looking at is unnatural. We're looking at a world where it doesn't make sense that Baruch Hu is present. That's not natural. The Russian should be present. The Russian created the world for that purpose. Not on the other side of life, but down here, that which is history has shows us is a condition for mankind possible in which peace within his own breast, peace with nature all around the people of this God, everything is completely in harmony with it. Everything is harmoniously bound up with it. The natural state is that everything fits. And we're totally connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Bria facilitates that. It's not a stira. It functions as supporting that. Nature, with the blossoming garden, the animal world at its feet, even those amphibians which now keep it in, remember friendly and amicably associating with him. And most of this man sitting upright, the likeness of God, raises him up to God, and God near is speaking to him, directing and guiding him. All this all independent on man, with all this glory of delight, submitting himself to God, asking God, what is good, what is evil? All you have to do is, Rashi, you tell me what is good. Not I should know. I want to eat from the eight sadas, and I should know. Please just tell me what's good and bad. That's all I want. That, everything else will fit. If you stick to this plan, boom. We will live in a world where it's the most natural thing in the world that human beings talk to their creator. Okay. If a man does not remain in this glory for one night, as soon as he takes animals to be his model, allows the difference between man and animal to disappear. So we follow that which he said, that's the piece which he builds up before, that what was the argument to the Nachash made to Adam Rishon? He says, there's a natural desire is a natural instinct. Who put an instinct into into beings? God did. So it's God talking. So there can't be anything wrong with eating from the eights, because you'd have a desire for it. Must be that's what God wants you to do. So his point is, for an animal, that is emes. An animal, their instinct is God-given, and it's only function. So for an animal, the instinct is how God speaks to them. Human beings have direct communication. You don't need to figure it out from the instinct. And the direct communication says, no, don't argue, but really God wants yes, because that's what animals do. So, oh, you want to be like an animal? Oh, okay, fine. To be short an animal. So that's what happened. On a regional, and then as soon as he became an animal, he thought he was an animal. He says, no, so you can't communicate to God directly anymore. To open the gates of paradise once again, it's to create this peace and harmony which is supposed to happen, etc. That is the purpose of the word of God, and that's the aim of the Torah. Okay? It's not unimportant to establish this fact out of this beginning of the history of mankind. It's important to, I don't know why he has to say it in the negative. It's important to establish this fact out of the beginning of the history of mankind. Why is it important? So this way, later on, when we come across instances of the prophets, or even the case when all of Kleisel became prophets, we should not consider this as supernatural or unnatural, but we take them for a momentary return, brought about by the strength of the Torah, to the original natural condition. I can tell you, he legs his effect so beautifully. He just puts it down so beautifully. How are we to look at the world? It's like you feel bad. You live in the in the smog all your life, so you think that's called normal air. One day you wake up, you move out into why did I think that was called normal? I'm living in a world where Kadosh Baruch Hu is not visible. That's the most unnatural thing in the Bria. We created it. It's our fault. But it's not natural. Natural is that the Rosh Hashanah talks. So any human being who can come along and, through his process of following the words of the Torah and removing the barrier which man has created between himself and his creator, so Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him. So you learn the Gemara in Megillah, and the Gemara in Megillah says that there was Kiflaim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael. There was 1.2 million Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael. So why don't we only have 55 Nevi'im, 48 men and 7 women? The Vua, which is needed for the Doris, was recorded. That which was not needed wasn't recorded. It means that for the remaining 1.1999 whatever 45 the VM, what was the purpose? You talk to your creator, right? You're stuck in a pshat in the Gemara, you asked Moshe for help and he said, okay, yeah, this is Rav, great, okay. You were not sure where you lost your animals, so you asked the Gemara and said, oh, the animals are over there, okay. That was normal. Imagine a world where you lived in that. That was there's people who would prepare themselves to be called B'nai Avim, they prepare themselves and they would get a Nevuah, so that the axe fell down to the bottom of the river, you bring that axe back up. And we said, wow, that's like a miracle.
What Jewish time frame was this in? 12.2 million.
The pashas was the Nevuah from Matan Torah until it ended was 1,000 years. The gross was 1,000 years. Right. So So if you argue a generation was, let's say, 40, 50 years, so that's 20 generations. So you had 60,000 Levim per generation. That's like a lot of people. That's what a person takes out of the Ikashkinim at that time. I was overwhelmed by the piece. Okay. Now, the Ramban learns that the Mishkan was going to be the vehicle now for us to do this, and the Saperna and Rashi are learning that this was really but before Achet Ha'egel, we went back to the state of Adam Rishon Kadam Achet. There was no Mis anymore. The body was no longer a vehicle of a barrier between man and his creator. And any place you wanted to speak to God, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'll come to you. It's the totally most natural thing in the world. You didn't need the Mishkan to do that. The Ramban learned that you needed the Mishkan to do that. So what was the vehicle? What was exactly the function of the purpose of the Mishkan? The Mishkan allowed to do that. So the Ramban says in the next,
because basically Matan Torah wasn't enough to get rid of. I mean, originally, even the Ramban would agree didn't need it, right? With Adam
Rishon. I'll reach into the correct.
So somehow the Matan Torah was not enough to completely undo that. I mean, according to Rashi, I guess Matan Torah brought you back to that state.
Correct.
But according to Ramban, it sounds like it wasn't.
There was another state.
It wasn't the complete
process.
Process, yeah. Like halfway there.
Okay. Now, so the Ramban, in his introduction to Parshas Truma, says the following. Kashadibra Hashem im yisel panim b'panim aseh shadibras. So Klai Yisrael as together got the Sefer Dibros. Then Moshe Rabbeinu got the parsha, the end of Yisroi and Parsha Mishpatim of mitzvahs, which were primary elements which many things can be derived from them. Let's say, so we find that the idea, we don't tell him a person wants to become a Jew, he wants to be a Geyer. So you don't tell them everything in one shot, you know. So listen, okay. First, we're going to teach you all the halachas of everything there is to do, and then you come a Jew, and you'll say yes, I'm coming a Jew. We don't do that, you know. Take a lifetime for them to hear. So we go through some basic points, the basic ideas of what it's about. He says he's makabel that, and then we teach him the details afterwards. So the Rishon did the same thing over here. We saw kibolayim lasters komashi yitzavim al yedem yodeshamash, and they said, listen, we get the main idea. Because again, the Ramban learns that Mishpatim was in order. So the Parshis would say Nasim and Ishma, etc., were said after Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Klai Yisrael these details. And Klai Yisrael says, yeah, Nasim and Ishma, we're in. Because Brisa calls that, then there was a Bris, which again, the Pesukim talk about there was a Krisis Brisa, and there was Kabbonis, etc. Rashi learns that took place before Matan Torah. The Ramban learns that took place after Matan Torah. And that's the psukim which we were promised before Matan Torah. Okay, now, if so there should be a vehicle to allow the Russian's presence to be amongst Klal Yisrael. So the person says, okay, now that we've got to this point where we've committed to each other and you're going to be my nation, so I should join you. I need a place to live. The main purpose of the desire, the reason to have the Mishkan, the real goal was the Oren. Okay, the Oren Kaparis began. Even though it wasn't so the first thing which was built, but that's what the whole story is about. That's why the Oren is mentioned first amongst all the everything else. So the Oren Ashulchan, Menorah, Shem Kelim Kamayu, the Yaral Inyan Mishkan, Shemavurim Nasa, but. When you're building it, you build the building and then you put the furniture inside. But the goal isn't the building, the goal is the furniture inside, which allows the building to have its function. Now, Vesayda Mishkanhu. So the Ramban says, I'm going to give you the understanding of the deeper understanding of the Mishkanhu. Shia Kvayra Shashachan Al Harsinai Shachan Al Benistin. That same presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which came to Klal Yisrael by Harsinai in a very public way, will continue to exist in Klal Yisrael in a more private form. Kvayra Shashachan Mishkan Kvayra Shachan Al Harsinai. It's the same Kvod Hashem. The Russian showed us his covered by our Sinai. And here it says Kvod Hashem Aleihem Mishkan. So it's the Kvod Hashem, which is here. His mission Shnei Pamim Kvod Hashem Aleihem Mishkan. It says it twice. The Russian showed us by our Sinai Kvodoy and Godloy. So over here it says the Russian put his kvod twice. Now Godloy was the public expression of it. We have a private expression of it, but it's there, as it's not lost. So the Mishkan was the vehicle to hold on to that glorious presentation of Shekhinah by Har Sinai will be maintained in Klal Yisrael through the Mishkan forever. It's mamish functioning like Har Sinai. He goes to Har Sinai, the Russian speaks to him. He goes to Mishkan, the Russian speaks to him. It says Russian spoke to him twice in the pasuk. It was the voice from Shemaim, just like it says by Har Sinai, the word of Shemati Mitech. So they were gold, because gold, it looks like a fire. Then he gets involved in a little more Kabbalistic point over here in the next one. So the Ramban learns that Mishkan was a miniature Matan Torah, being maintained in the Klal Yisrael that should have been forever, till again Klal Yisrael was Chayte and we lost that. But the Mishkan really was. So the same way, it's almost like, I'm not sure how to say it properly, but before the Chet of Adam Rishon, you didn't need Matan Torah to do it. It was there. It was so natural, like you didn't have to make an event out of it. Klal Yisrael needed an event called Matan Torah. This is the event continuing to exist. But you need that vehicle.
Right.
So
and Rashi would argue that they need the event, but once the event happened, Rashi would, then it goes back to
the it goes right. So Rashi says the event brought the world back to the full clarity. The Ramban says no, the event
has to continue. As
the event continues, you know. So it's not like, you know, that is the event. It's not like, you know, it's, you know, there's a new thing besides. This is Matan Torah. You know, you thought Matan Torah is a one. You know, B'chol Yom there's a Bas Kol Yotzei Me'Arach Harev, and it says it, the voice is still reverberating. The curl of our scene, like, the post says B'lo Yosef. One parasha says it didn't stop. So it didn't stop means the Kala Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have in modern science, you have the idea that, you know, there's sound waves being sent from these, you know, from these distant stars which are going through the universe. They're not stopping. They're just going. Nothing's stopping them. The voice of Kodesh Baruch Hu is still reverberating. We have difficulty hearing it. The Rashi one time said, he says, you know, says the Mishnah says in Ovis, it says that B'chol Yom, there's this bas kol, so we don't hear it in the full level. It's like a bas kol. It's like it's the derivative of the kol, as a bas kol means. Right? So you don't hear the full kol. It says woe to the Brius Mabon Shel Torah. That's the message that's coming across. It means if you would have heard the real kol, you would have heard the Torah.
The kol is never.
Well, it's saying it's the call of a Matan Torah. This is the voice of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but gave the Torah, which is the form of the Nevuah, right? So, if we had heard the call, you'd hear the Torah. The derivative of the call is the busha that we're not hearing the call. So you hear Oilem the Brias, Ribbono Shel Torah. Woe to the Brias, that the insult that they're not. If you would prepare yourself properly, you would hear Torah. You don't hear Torah. You know why? Because Takan said Takan is going to Torah, right? So the Rishiva said, "This is what does this call do for you?" He says, "Middle of nowhere, you get this here or tshuva. You know, I got to get better. I got to do better." So where do you think they came from? He says, "You heard the Basco. You heard that sound." So there's like out of nowhere, just like one. So you know, I'm not happy with my life anymore. I need to do better. Like, where did it come from? That's that voice that you're hearing. So the Ramban is, in a certain sense, the Ramban is like, it's not like he's, you know, right, so he's not limiting and saying where that there's a chasor. It's Adarav, it's in a certain sense, it's a milo. The Mishkan was the way to hold on to Matan Torah, which is why the halacha is that the Sanhedrin had to be placed, the Sanhedrin has to be next to Mikdash. Rama says that's there's a kriyas makom. All the time it has a din of Sanhedrin gadol, and when it's lashon gadol, it's next to the mikdash. When it's there, right next to the kol, coming, it's like it's right there receiving the kol. Right. This is the first example of wireless. Right. The telephony. Right. It's right there next to the mikdash. So the kol, Kadosh Baruch Hu, was going into them. Then they have a din of Sanhedrin gadol. Then there's a dinner because Zakan Mamri is Mura, he's Chayiv Misa, etc. If they're not there, it doesn't exist. It doesn't have that Milo. So that's maybe like layer one. There's layer two, or layer one and a half. Like, I can't even idea. Taking the step a bit further, the Medrash, Tavrach v'yichli tshumah v'rech yipasach, l'cho ha-shamah gedula v'agavura, kichob ha-shamayim v'oritz. Suppose it's kichob ha-shamayim v'oritz. Whatever's in Shemayim, everything is in Shemayim and in Oritz. So what does that mean? We said every day, right? What does it mean? Atomot tzikoma ha-shabara kadosh baruch hu l'malon bor l'matah. We find something which corresponds in Shemayim and in Oritz. So the way that there's a Shir Das that tells the Rav, Kichol Shemayim Oritz is the name of the Shir Das. Actually, there's three Shir Das on that topic. One's Aleph Beis and Gimel. And the way he explains it is the following. This Medrash, the way we could have put the whole Shir Das in, but that's all three Shir Das in, and that would make the packet very thick. There's a Kabbalistic concept called Mishtalshalus. Mishtalshalus means that what we see in this world, everything which exists in this world. Okay, the Baruch Shem is to use the analogy an electric generating plant, transmission system, and delivery system to your home. Right, so you have this dynamo, which is producing electricity in the generating plant. It's producing megavolts of electricity. Right, a tremendous amount of power. Then you have wires which transport it and then delivers it into your home. So if this megavolts of electricity would come into your home, it would blow it to smithereens. Right, so you have step downs. You have transformers which step it down. So the Baruch Hashem, anything exists in the Bria because it's expression of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nothing can exist. There's nothing exists by itself. The Baruch Hashem is everything exists because in some way the Baruch Hashem makes it exist. So it's incorrect to understand that what the Baruch Hashem does is the Baruch Hashem gives it independent existence. That's not really true. What the Baruch Hashem does is he makes it exist as part of his being. It exists. So, but how do you take the infinite being and make it look like a table? How does it work? So there has to be a process. So the Zohar, that's what Kabbalah describes, the process, how there's the different stages of stepping it down and transforming it and making it into something which, in this very seemingly physical world, we can accept that expression of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and use it in a very, very functional way. So now electricity comes in your home at 110 volts, 220 volts, and it works. And it's very, very, very beneficial. Right? But if you take the same thing, the theory of children is if a little bit is good, a lot is better, right? A little sugar is good, pour the whole container in. Sometimes it gets it sick, you can't eat it anymore. Right? So a little bit of electricity is good, a lot is even better. So let's make it 1,000 volts. It doesn't work. Right? It burns up the wires. Right? Or the human being, whatever. So Bershom steps it down. So what happens is you're gonna have the same idea, concept, being, which in its first stages, it has a certain form and appearance. When it's brought down to this world, it expresses itself in a much more physical way. So kichol b'shamayim b'aretz, whatever's in Shemayim is the exact same thing as b'aretz. It's not it's not a symbolism. It's not it's not a cousin. It's the same thing being expressed in the physical world, the way it looks in the physical world. But the exact same thing exists in a higher existence. The exact same thing looks, but it looks different than the higher existence. The same way we sort of picture ourselves, we sort of intuit that when a person is in Gan Eden, he doesn't look like me, just like a little nicer, with wings, right? It's a totally different existence. It's a more pure existence. But it's not a different being. It's me, just more pure, to the point where that me can exist in a world which is not physical. Right? So, and when I'm down in this world, I exist in a more physical sense. So you find, and then the Semedesh goes to the whole list. The Malo Zvuva, Rafel, there's a place called Zvul, a place called Rafel. Rei Mizvuva Kodjecha, Arafel, Nigashel Arafel. See, Haba'ad Arafel Yishpait. There's a place for Rosham to exist in this world, which is called a Ruffle and Zwool. It doesn't look anything like the Ruffle and Zwool in Shemai. The physical, we say it's this cloud of glory. That physical, that reality in Shemai looks quite different, but it's the same thing. In Shemayim, there's something called the Strafim or Oimdim. In the Mishkan, the Atishitim or Oimdim. So Shemayim, it's Malachim, and however, it's a piece of wood. It's the same thing. The Malach Kruvim, the Matan, there's Kruvim, the Malach, there's Afanim. Over here, there's Shemechal Kotra. Over here, there's a Hechel also. Etc., etc., etc. So it goes to a whole list of different things. So Mamash is saying that we're supposed to look at the Mishkan and see the Atishitim Oimdim and understand that this is the way you express what looks in Shemayim as a Sorof in the physical world looks like a piece of wood. Okay. Then he goes to this whole list at the end. Okay. V'loy Oid. So it's the exact same thing. Where the Russian preferred to exist? In Shemayim. So he has all the accoutrements of the Mishkan in Shemayim. He preferred the one down here. That's rather the pasuk, but whatever is in Shemayim is the exact same thing as Ba'aretz. And not only that, the one in the Ba'aretz is more important. So the Ikar Shekhinah B'Tatoinim, this is like the Medrash really giving, taking the concept of Ikar Shekhinah B'Tatoinim and really giving you the contrast. That it's Mamish, the Rosh could get the exact same thing in Shemayim, and he chose B'Dafka to dwell down here. So that's Mishkan. Mishkan is not some symbolism. It's the exact same thing, etc. Okay. Okay. Go to the Medrash page in Sadi in the Medrash. So now, Davar Acher, which is a Kashim La Mishkan. So it's above. Amar Vavan, Moshe LeMelech Shehoi Loi Ikunin Noe. There was a king who had this gorgeous countenance. I want you to make a portrait of me. I want you to make it a resemblance of me. How can I make something like you? It's not going to have. It's not going to contain the presence and the shine and that you have in your being. You can't capture that. You're right. You cannot make another me, but you can make it with your paints. That it should look. I'll be in my actual glory, and you'll make it in the paint. Okay. Moshe says, I want you to see what Yishmael and make the same thing. I'm on the phone of Rabbi Shlomo Elomim. Eloka, you're ani shani yachol asus keila. I'm a God. How can I make such a thing? I can't make Shemayim. I can't make the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I can make Srafim. I'm supposed to make Srafim. How do you make Srafim? Make a drawing of it. Make an expression of it. What you see here, you will make lamata. If you do a good job making what you see here in Shemayim down there. Okay, and again it has Shrafim and Shemayim, Atashit and Oimdim, Kechavim, Aflamata came. So where were the Kechavim down here? The cross they Hazov looked like Kechavim. So what's unique about this Sama Manecha, right? So the painter paints. He puts paint on a canvas. It doesn't become alive. It's just a symbolism. What's unique about this, the what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, was creating a place which will be able to hold the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like it holds in Shemayim. So it's a physical representation of what's in Shemayim, but it's effective enough that it brings the Shekhinah down.
That was the Mishkan.
That's what the Mishkan is. That you can create such a vehicle which allows the person's presence to exist in the physical world. Right, so you need to create something which holds the skin of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which Betzim is an illogical concept. Right. So in the Tchilas HaBriya, the Briya was created in Shemayim Oros equal. But now you need a vehicle to create it. So the vehicle which you need to create has to be parallel to what's in Shemayim. You need to create the Shemayim down in this world. Right? I think it just gives us, at least it gives us some pause to, we don't understand how it works. Right? I don't have to understand how electricity works and all that electricity works. I don't understand the theory. Right? I know how to push the button to make it work for me. I'm a computer, you know.
Wizard.
I come to the computer and I know how to use the computer to get it to do what I have. I don't understand why it works. I don't understand all of the process, how you move something from point A to point B, and all of the programming which is necessary to be able to know that I can control the computer and make it do what I want it to do. Right? That's a different knowledge than the knowledge of why it works and how to create the reality. But once it's there, I can use it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to create the Mishkan, that's very difficult. You need you need to be a Betzal. You need to be almost a god. But once it's there, that Mishkan, you push the button and the Shekhinah is there. We don't have to. You don't need that Madrega. It's there. The Russian put it as a physical reality in the world. So you walk in the Mikdash and you do whatever you're supposed to do to walk into the Mikdash, the Tshuva you're supposed to do, and the Korban you're supposed to bring, and the Tahara that you're supposed to prepare yourself for, and it works. And the Rosh Hashanah says, okay, if you wear Tefillin, It works. How does tefillin work? Why does tefillin bring the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into you? Why does it make you Kaddish? I don't know. Do I have to know why to make it work? Yeah, it's a mitzvah to understand why, because it's a mitzvah to understand the Rosh is expressing himself, but that's part of the process of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not necessary to know it, to believe that it works. I'm saying, you know, I don't understand how computers work. Must be they're not true. Nobody says that. They work. I don't understand why tefillin should do anything for you. It must be that tefillin don't do anything for you. I don't see how mitzvahs work. Nobody says to me that mitzvahs work. Right? The Rosh can impregnate physical realities with the presence of the Shekhinah. He can take my actions and make them Kaddish, that they bring Shekhinah. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. That sentence is, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a mitzvah to know. I'd like to know also. But because it doesn't make any sense to me is the reason that it can't be true. Like, there's so many things in this world. There's no human being nowadays. The amount of knowledge that exists in that world, they have, like, you know, these, you know, information explaining to you how much knowledge exists, which, of course, is obsolete as soon as you write it. Right? There's no human being who knows all the knowledge that exists in the world. You know, it's fascinating to watch our society. Like, we become much more... Everybody's a specialist nowadays. Because the more knowledge which we have, the more that a person to be an expert in something, by definition, he's going to focus on a limited area. The individuals which are able to encompass tremendous amounts of areas and know them all with levels of expertise are quite unique. I always have this comment in the Frum world, you know, you have the swarm nowadays. Like, you know, so the person writes, you know, Shluch HaKein Kelchosa. This person spent like 3 years researching Shluch HaKein. Right, you know, whatever it was. So he knows everything there's no Shluch HaKein. You ask him about Erevin, that's not his job. You know, his job is, you know, right, Erev Ruvei Chatzeres Kelchosa. Erev Tavshilin Kelchosa, you know. The Sefer Erev Kelchosa, it's 600 pages long. Everything you want to know about Erev Tavshilin, you know, and afraid to ask, you know, like that's the subtitle. And then you have the Rabbi Yashas, the Meshama Zalmans, and the Ramoshas, who knew more than the people who spent 3 years researching it, plus knowing everything else like that. You know, they're experts in everything. But you know, those are most people. There's amount of them. So the average intelligent human being, not, you know, has areas where he has expertise and areas where he's very unknowledgeable, he's very ignorant. She says, "Well, that doesn't make sense to me, so it can't be." That's ridiculous. He knows that there's areas he's not knowledgeable in. So we're introduced that there's a world where that the Rosh Hashanah says, I have a way to make the world work for you. I have a way that I've created a system to bring Shekhinah back into the world. Whether it's because the Matan Torah required that, whether it's because the Chet Egel required that. Right? But there's a vehicle which allows it to happen. It's the Mishkan. We don't have the Mishkan. It's, you know, Chazal say it's the Dalai Lama Shal Halacha. It's like the Rehur says, it's the word of God, it's the Torah, keeping the mitzvahs. They all function. So just one quick piece, we have to stop. So Chaim says, we don't understand how it works. We know that it works. So this shot in the Chazal. You use your paints, you make your physical thing, and Hashem is myself, I will come in my presence and be there. I will let it accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And any mitzvah does that. So when you make kiddush over wine, and you put on tefillin, and you put out of leather, you're taking this physical thing and making it a vehicle for Shekhinah. How's it work? I don't know. But it doesn't make a difference. Maybe the kach, shetishu bar Shekhinah. Mitzvah zachilas matzah. Ayanei maitzah gash v'shel lishas hakemach. Afiyosoy lishmo. V'hakach ayanei pulas achila gash miz yotzahu tetzah shal kedusha. V'kein rabbis. Okay, now just the quotes over here, a Chavis Lavovas at the end of this paragraph. V'altimayit b'enecha shum toiva shetasena l'shmo yisbar. Filo b'milo b'ri'iya. You just said a word. You just looked. Like, what did I accomplish? K'ma'at v'imchua rav etz lo yisbar. What seems to be a minimal action on your part, the Rosh says is very valuable. You just, like, you know, the analogy to the, you just put, you just, like, you move the mouse and you touch this little thing. A little action. Psh! Makes a tremendous power. And what did I do? I just touched the mouse. Yeah, well, yeah, you just destroyed the whole program! Or you just, like, you just solved the whole problem. What did I do? I just touched the, it works. But came in a virus. Right, so you lived in a very physical world. You know, 20 years ago, it didn't work like this. You know, you had to dig your kishkas out for like 5 years to make a house. You know, like, you know, you just touch a button, you have a house. Like, you know, so you just like put 8 strings, and wow, like it makes kedusha. Really, like, you know, how does it work? Right, but now why shouldn't it work? Like, the whole world works like that.
Positives.
Right, you know, so he says, so that is the power. Bershom put all these actions and all of these items that they have functions within this big, you know, system. They have tremendous power. We relate to that totally. You know, once we live in a world of waves and all those different things. Like, why not? It makes so much sense. I mean, do I understand how waves? Why waves work? I don't know why waves work, but they do. You know, I don't have to understand why to know that it's so obvious that it's real. I think that's the point that we're getting at. So we moved from the Ikishkin of Tatarim, that there was a point in time where it was totally natural that the Bereshit presence should be so available and so accessible. We didn't need Maisa Mitzvah for that even. All the reason they don't need any Maisa Mitzvah, it just was. Because that state of being is not going to exist to loss of love, but there's going to be a point in time we don't need mitzvahs anymore. Right? But till that point, the Bereshit says, I'm going to create a system which will allow you to do that. And that system is, the Bereshit says, I'm going to put things in the Bria which function as full expressions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though they seem to be just simply very physical things. That's the point that we're saying. Okay.